Well, from ancient China to modern-day Michigan, the history of falconry spans both continents and centuries. In medieval Europe, hunting with birds of prey was known as the sport of kings, with certain breeds reserved for the aristocracy. And while you don't have to be royal to be a falconer anymore, it's still a pretty exclusive club. There are only about 130 licensed falconers in the state of Michigan. Joining us today to talk about what it takes to become a falconer and what falconry is all about, Ed Taylor. Ed's a member of the Michigan Hawking Club and has been a falconer for close to four decades. Welcome, Ed.
Thank you.
And we're also joined by Hamdi Kassem, another Michigan Hawking Club member and a master falconer living in the Lansing area. Welcome, Hamdi.
Thank you.
And tell us about our very special guest who is sitting on Hamdi's forearm. Hamdi, who do we have the pleasure of meeting here today?
Well, we have a female red-tailed hawk, which is very common bird in Michigan and in North America. It's used for hunting rabbits and ducks. And
that's their natural prey, rabbits, ducks, what have you. And you can train a red-tailed hawk just as you train a falcon then?
It's completely different because in the wild, red-tailed hawks usually eat like mice, rats, and they take the opportunity to eat like sometimes roadkill in bad weather. But we train them to be successful hunters on game they don't usually hunt, so when we release them, they have more chance to survive in the wild. A falcon is different. Falcons mostly, it depends on what kind of falcons, but large falcons usually hunt for birds. You can see them downtown Lansing hunting for ducks and pigeons.
Okay.
So it's completely different.
Ed, tell us about what you train these birds to do. What is involved in falconry exactly?
Well, it's real basic. Not really. What it is is there's a process of... you have to be licensed here, so you have to pass a test for falconry. And this is how it all starts out. You have to be, first of all, you have to have the interest. You study for it. You take your exam. You pass it. You get a sponsor. You have your equipment inspected. And then you go out and you get your first bird, which is usually, a red tail. It's the most common bird of prey that we use in the United States here. And that's just the beginning process of it all, and there are people that go on to more birds that take more knowledge to fly, like accipiters, which are short-wing hawks, and the falcons, which I think are probably the takes the most knowledge to handle because it's and there's two different ways that we acquire birds. We acquire birds as downies. They're called IASs, we will trap them in the fall migration, which is called the passage bird. And depending upon what bird you take, whether the IS or the passage, they're completely different.
Do you do, Hamdi, if you were to take this bird out and just do your thing with this bird, what would we see it do?
Well, I fly both hawks and falcons.
Okay.
For a hawk, what I do is I take it out, let her fly to a tree, and then we basically walk around trying to flush any game, like scare rabbits basically, get them out, and then she will go and catch them. And if I'm flying a falcon, you do the same, but except the falcon, you let it go, and they go up. It can be up to 1,000 feet, 1,500 feet. And
do you ever lose a bird? Does that happen?
I never in my life, actually. But
I have.
Ed has, you haven't. Okay, but it does. It does happen.
Yes, it
does. Happen.
And the terrain here is different. See, where Humvee's from Egypt, where you got open fields, and in Michigan, you got trees all around you. And if you're flying a falcon and you're in the middle of a field and it should see something a long ways away, you've got so much distance between where the bird is now out of sight.
Gotcha.
It's so much easier to lose a bird in those, that situation there.
Okay. Continue, Hamdi. Though you take what does this bird have a name?
Well, yes, her name is a skunk, and that's because when we first trapped her and she was hunting, she killed a skunk, and she smelled like a skunk for almost 2 years every time she get wet.
So a skunk is in our studio here today. Very interesting. We'll point out that skunk has a what do you call the
it's
hood?
It's called
that's
the hood.
A hood. So skunk is extremely placid, sitting on your forearm here right now. If you were to take that hood off, how would skunk respond?
She will be okay. It's just this is basically to make them more calm. It's like you know how when you are training horses, you put blinds on their eyes so they don't see and they don't get scared.
Mm-hmm. Of course,
it's the same way because those are wild animals. But if I take it off, she will be okay.
But the idea is to take skunk out or a falcon out, and they are trained so that you let them go. They pursue whatever they want to pursue, but they're obviously trained to come back to you.
What we do is when we fly our birds, we fly them, and all these different birds are specialized in their own fields. Falcons, you fly on like pheasants and ducks. Goshawks, you fly on, and what they fly on is, you know, from ducks to pheasants to rabbits, which the falcons don't pursue hare. And the red tails are, we use them basically for hunting rabbit.
How long is a typical session? So when you take a bird out into the out into a field, Ed, how long do you basically let it free before you call it back?
Again, there's a process to all this, but the final end result is that you know you're trying to find the game itself. Usually, with a falcon, you find the game before you put the bird up. With a red tail or a goshawk, you're flying. With the red tail, it's out of the tree, and then you're underneath trying to produce a rabbit for it, and the bird will follow you as you go through the woods or into the fields. And with the goshawk, you have the goshawk on the fist. It's a short wing hawk. You can go into the woods. You can go into the fields, and that's what makes them such a valuable bird because I can hunt anywhere in Michigan with this bird and not be deterred by the surroundings that I'm in. But, you know, like I say, goshawks are, you know, they cover the full spectrum of what we do as small game hunters.
Okay.
But the birds, they're specific to game. Falcons, birds, red tails, rabbits, and so on.
They pursue particular kinds of game,
right.
Each one.
This is what they would hunt in nature.
We're talking with two members of the Michigan Hawking Club, Ed Taylor and Hamdi Kassem here about, we're talking specifically about falconry, but they've also brought in a red-tailed hawk, Skunk, here, who has been trained by Hamdi Kassem, one of our guests. How did you get into this activity, Hamdi?
Well, I was born and raised in Egypt, and it's more common over there, so I started early. I started when I was like maybe 8 years old. My dad is a falconer. My grandfather is a falconer. It had been in the family for like thousands of years. So that's how I started, and I loved it. And
what about you, Ed? How'd you get into this?
My grandfather was a naturalist, a hunter, and loved the outdoors, and that's where he took me all the time. And at the age of five, I opened up a book and saw my first goshawk that my eyes saw. It's still stuck in my brain, that picture is, and I pursued from there. Mm-hmm. You know, while people were playing baseball and basketball, I was out in the woods studying nature because it's the most fascinating thing, and this is the epitome of nature because we get to see mm-hmm. things that you'll never see on TV. I mean, the difference between predator and prey, it's just amazing. There's such a competition, and people think that animals are don't have much intelligence. But the thing is when you see the conflict between the two, you will see how intelligent these things are and how capable they are of surviving. Mm-hmm. You know, and
what is there a particular moment you remember, Hamdi, from your falconry activities?
There is actually a lot of moments. Like every time you go out, it's new experience. When you let your bird fly free and it's hunting, or if it's a falcon, it's up like 1,000 feet and you are watching it, and then it come down I fly peregrines, and they come down 200 to 240 miles an hour and hit the game in the air, and you see all that. It's just amazing. So I remember every moment.
What goes into training the birds, Ed? It sounds complicated. It doesn't sound easy to train a wild animal.
Well, and that's true. Whether it be a young bird as an IS or a passage bird, we only take first-year birds. If it survived the first year, it's off-limits to us. But the thing is that everything is based around food. And time is a necessity because we go through a process of manning, which is training the bird to things that we take for granted, like cars and people and dogs and all these different things. Your bird is – it's shocking to them, and we have to acclimate the bird to our surroundings before we can even pursue to the next step, which is, you know, calling the bird to the fist. With red tails, the process is quicker. Goshawks, it takes a little bit longer, and falcons takes, you know, there's a whole big process with falcons that is completely different than the other two birds. But
you got a particular memory from your falconry activities?
Well, you know, the thing is, I always talk about, you know, I know falconers like to talk about, you know, I took X amount of rabbits, you know, thinking, you know, that's the most amazing thing. And to me, it's always the flight. And unfortunately, you know, some of the flights that I remember are ones that are like, I remember, you know, I go out with a falcon and I'll put my falcon up and I'll pop up like 50 ducks and they'll start rising. And my bird will be up, you know, 2,000 feet and she'll stoop down when the ducks are up like about 50 feet up off the ground. And then all of a sudden the ducks, their mechanism is to collapse down to the ground where now the duck has the advantage and the bird of prey has to make that last second decision of whether to strike a duck or shoot back into the sky again and not harm itself, because if it misses now, and I've seen this happen, it's happened to me a few times where it actually will collide with the ground doing 200 miles an hour.
Oh, my.
Yes, so it's like anything and everything can happen when you go out into the field. It's like I say, it's like other raptors. You know, red-tailed hawks will pursue our peregrines. They're all it's a completely different world that we work in when we go out with our birds of prey, mm-hmm. our raptors. It's
Where do you do this? Does the Hawking Club have land or what?
We get permits from like farmers and people who have like, you know, ducks or rabbits in their backyard. And this is where we hunt, actually.
All around the Lansing area, then?
All around Michigan, if we want.
You're from the Lansing area,
yes,
though,
I
correct?
Lansing.
Okay. Ed, where are you from?
Where
do you do this?
I fly over in, like, Muskegon area, Fruitport and that, and it's the same thing. You go on people's property, and you ask for permission to fly your bird, and you know, a lot of times people don't understand what we do, and it's frowned upon. In other words, I always hear, well, it might take my cat or it might take my dog, and it's like, well, these are not what these birds hunt, you know. You know, you hear stories like that, but that's usually a bird that's starving and it's on its last leg, and the only thing it could do is pursue something that...
Hamdi, I understand. You'll actually be going to Cotter in the next few weeks to visit a falconry market. What will you be doing there?
Well, it's one of the largest falconry equipment market in the world, if it's not, you know, the best too. But there is equipment like hoods, there's tracking systems, there is also everything related to falconry, gloves, stuff like that, and birds too. So it's just a good experience to go and look at all this and maybe buy some equipment from there.
Extraordinary. Well, it's been incredible to learn all about this activity. We've been talking about the sport and art of falconry here in Michigan. Our guests today have been Michigan Hawking Club members Ed Taylor and Hamdi Qasem. Thanks to both of you for joining us, and many thanks to Skunk. Our listeners can see Skunk on our website here in just a little spell on WKAR.org. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.